Gary King has had many triumphs and learned some challenging lessons in his life. As a successful businessman and entrepreneur, as an internationally recognized artist and sand sculptor, and as director of security for Anthony Robbins, Gary King is recognized and looked to for his leadership abilities and wisdom. Absolutely convinced that lies and a lack of integrity are the biggest problems faced in modern society, Gary touches people's lives by speaking about the power of truth. Hundreds of lives have been transformed by their own commitment to living with truthfulness and integrity, no matter how difficult. Get ready to find yourself intrigued and challenged as we go live at a recent Anthony Robbins event where Gary King shares with a live audience.
The second that he gets up here, a roaring ovation for the one, the only, Mr. Gary King, ladies and gentlemen.
Please sit down. Please sit down. Thank you, Steve. It is always a great honor to speak at a Tony Robbins event. I actually attended an event, a UPW, in 1991, and I attended very suicidal. And if it wasn't for Tony and his program, I can most assuredly tell you that I wouldn't be here speaking to you today. I'm real confident about that. So Tony helped me a lot. His program helped me a lot and enabled me to be here. So once again, great honor. So what I want to talk to you about today is what I call the power of truth. And that came out of a talk I gave 3.5 years ago. It came out of a lot of my own life experiences, which I'm going to share with you today. And I'm going to share with you what I call my blessings. And some of the stories I tell you may not seem like blessings to you, but I guarantee you they are. The other thing I want to do is I want to do what's called progression of awareness. It's another word for consciousness. So I want to shift your consciousness. And I guarantee you in the next 80 minutes, that will, in fact, happen. You'll have a massive shift in consciousness, and you'll leave this room very different from the way you entered it. So I would like to talk to you first about energy, because everything is based on energy. You are pure energy. If you looked at yourself under a microscope, you would see you're nothing more than energy flowing. Your energy affects the people around you. The people around you's energy affects you. Right now in this room, although you cannot see it, touch it, smell it, hear it, all of the communication between LAX and all the airplanes are happening in this room. In this room right now, there's 1 million cell phone conversations going on in this room right now. In this room, there's $3 trillion changing hands internationally right now. It's floating through this room because it all gets transferred electronically now. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't smell it. But nonetheless, it's all happening in this room right now. This room is full of pure energy. It affects you, and you affect it. If you struck a tuning fork, and it resonated at a frequency, and you took another one, and you held it next to it without touching it, it would resonate at the same frequency. We all swim in life force, this energy life force. Now, we affect our own life force. We affect that energy by what I call our emotional alignment. Any chiropractors in the room? No chiropractor? One, two? Chiropractors know all about physical alignment. If you are physically misaligned, it leads to pain, it leads to injury, and in some cases could lead to disease. Emotional misalignment. Nowadays, in our culture, especially in this country, emotional misalignment is the order of the day. It pretty much is how most every human walks around, emotionally misaligned. And what do I mean by that? They walk around incongruent. Congruency is a choice in the moment, like integrity is a choice in the moment. Integrity in this country has fallen to a level that the colleges actually teach what's called alternative ethics. Now, I want you to think about that, alternative ethics. What is alternative ethics? It's a business strategy. It's a strategy to get out of your life what you want. Alternative ethics, that means basically anything goes. As long as you get your outcome, anything goes. Now, consider this. Power of truth. You're going to hear me say this 12 times during this talk. There's no such thing as an inconsequential lie, and there never was. I'll repeat it a dozen times at least. There's no such thing as an inconsequential lie, and there never was. Truth and honesty is the oldest and most powerful of all the human values. And currently, in my opinion, it's the least practiced. It's the most powerful of all the human values and the least practiced. Why is that? Why is being honest not an issue anymore, or it appears to not be an issue anymore? Well, for the most part, people link pain to being honest and pleasure to being dishonest, or avoiding pain by being dishonest. It all started a long time ago when you were very young. Brainwashing is a real simple process. In most cases, it takes a day or two with a human to brainwash them. And it happens like this. So you're 3 or 4 years old. You're in the kitchen. You see a plate of cookies. You take a cookie off the plate. Your mother comes in, says, "Jan, did you take a cookie off the plate?" And you say, "Well, yes, I did, Mommy." And you get punished because you took a cookie off the plate. It's called behavior reinforcement. Lifelong patterns sometimes get instilled in a moment. What happens the next time? Jan goes into the kitchen, sees a plate of cookies, takes a cookie. Her mom asks her, "Did you take the cookie?" What does Jan do? She lies to avoid the pain. What happens to Jan? Jan is now later in her life, and it develops a pattern. Anybody read the book The Tipping Point? Anybody heard of that book, read that book by Malcolm Gladwell? Malcolm Gladwell in that book talks about a theory he has called the broken window theory. And what that basically is he studied crime. And he studied areas of the city where there was a lot of broken windows. And the windows didn't get repaired. So that would invite more crime to that area of the city. So pretty soon, people would start breaking into the buildings. And then they would start doing victim crimes in that area. So he had a theory. He thought, well, what would happen if you just replaced the windows? You didn't do anything else but replace the windows. So he started a project, and in a certain area, the broken windows were replaced. Guess what? The crime rate dropped radically in that area just by replacing the windows. Lying is a broken window and nobody's fixing it. It is a broken window and nobody's repairing it. Anybody ever heard a world leader, religious leader, president of a country, principal of a school, corporate CEO, say, "Don't ever lie, because there's no such thing as an inconsequential lie"? Have you ever heard a person say that in your lifetime? Ever? I ask this always when I speak. Rarely do I find a person raise their hand. Rarely. Now think about that. If you are influenced by these people and no one brings that subject up, what do you think happens to our society and our culture? There's a story about Gandhi. Gandhi's taking audience. A woman takes her son to see Gandhi. She has a young son. He eats way too much sugar. She takes her son to see Gandhi because Gandhi is the only person that can influence her son. She travels a very long distance. She stands in line for 24 hours to see him. She gets up to Gandhi and she says, "Gandhi, I beg of you, please tell my son to stop eating sugar." He looked at the woman and he said, "Come back in 2 weeks." She was furious. "Come back in 2 weeks. Come back in 2 weeks." She left. She was very, very angry. But she thought about it. She went, "My son needs to stop eating sugar. He's the only person that can do it." So she returned. She made the trip. She stood in line. She got up to Gandhi. "Gandhi, I beg of you, please tell my son to stop eating sugar. He'll listen to you." Gandhi looked at the boy and he said, "Stop eating sugar. It'll destroy your health." The woman looked at him and said, why didn't you just tell him that 2 weeks ago? And he said, because 2 weeks ago I was eating sugar. You see, to be a leader and to tell people not to lie, that it has consequences, leaders eat a lot of sugar. That's one of the reasons you don't see much of that going on. You don't see leaders addressing people like that. There's very few references in the world right now for being honest, but there's lots of references for being dishonest. There's many. And we find ourselves in a place where the line between good and bad and right and wrong has been erased. And now people have decided that whatever behavior it takes to accomplish their goal is okay. Never thinking about the consequence. And there is a consequence to every single lie. You can't escape it. You may think so, you cannot. Anybody read Power versus Force? Power versus Force is by a man named Hawkins who has studied kinesiology and the effects of kinesiology and directly connected to lying. Now, I typically do an experiment on stage using two books, and I put those books in envelopes and I'll seal them, and I'll bring people up on the stage and muscle test them. Who knows what kinesiology is? Almost everybody. Muscle testing. Muscle testing is the body's intelligence versus the mind's intelligence. So I'll bring people up on the stage periodically. I'll call people out of the audience, and I'll muscle test them with these two books. The first time I did it, the tests were always the same. I used two contrasting books. I used a Bible, and I used the story of Hitler's life with his picture on the cover. The Bible tested strong. The Hitler story tested weak. Then I thought, the next time I did it, well, I'll put it in a non-religious context. So I used two different books. I used a book by M. Scott Peck called People of the Lie, and I used a 100-year-old book called The Power of Truth. I tested 30 people. 28 of those people tested weak with the M. Scott Peck book and very strong with the Power of Truth book. There's no such thing as an inconsequential lie. Your body knows. Your body knows. I was in New York City last week. I was having a conversation with a nurse who works specifically with terminally ill cancer patients. We got engaged in this conversation, and right in the middle of the conversation, I looked at her and said, "So, do you suppose that lying causes cancer?" And she stopped and she thought about it for a minute. And she said, "You know what? Yes, I do." So, who in here might suppose that lying causes cancer? If you just thought about it for a minute, lying causes possibly cancer. Because what is cancer? It's conflict. It's conflict. It's internal conflict. It's being emotionally misaligned. Power versus force. Power is internal. Force is external. Force is what you do to try and force the universe to fill your needs. Power is what you do to connect with the universe, to have the universe provide your needs. You don't have to force anything. Nothing. Now think about this. The fundamentals of life. Michael Jordan, known as the best basketball player in the world, he will tell you, if you ask him why he's the best, he'll say he practices the fundamentals more than any other basketball player. He practices free throw shots more than any other basketball player. Now let me ask you, how in the world do you perceive that you could have an outstanding life without practicing the fundamentals of life? How will you do that? Do you think money somehow will fill that gap? Do you think a relationship somehow will fill that gap? No. Honesty and integrity are directly linked to self-esteem. Self-esteem, for the ladies in the room, is directly connected to emotional intimacy. No self-esteem, no emotional intimacy. They're all connected together. Trust. How will you ever have an amazing relationship if there isn't a deep level of trust? You won't. Who in here loves, just absolutely loves to be lied to? That's right, nobody. So why would you lie to anybody else? Why would you do it? If you don't like it, why would you do it? The greatest honor you can bestow on people around you is being honest with them. If you want to honor yourself as a human being, you are honest. That's how you honor yourself. That's one of the ways that self-esteem and honesty are linked together. Relationships. You can't get there without being authentically honest. People say to me all the time, well, the honesty thing works really well until my significant other looks at me and says, honey, do you think I'm fat? Then all of a sudden, it doesn't work anymore. Well, I give you a suggestion. People ask me, you know, well, you're such an expert on being honest. What do you do in a moment like that? And I said, well, I'd suggest to you that possibly your mate may have a self-esteem challenge. Because people with high self-esteem don't pose that question. They would never ask anybody else about their weight. Be they male or female, doesn't matter. Self-esteem and honesty are linked together. So why aren't people honest? Why do they choose to lie? There's so many reasons. The human brain searches for a reason that justifies the lie. They always search for a reason that justifies the lie. There's a story about a guru who lives on the top of a mountain. And there's a man whose life is in misery, and he searches out this guru. And he climbs this mountain. It takes him a very long time to climb it. He gets beat up, bruised, the treacherous trip. He finally gets to the top. He finally finds the guru. Please share with me. I hear you have the secrets about life that can straighten my life out. Please share them with me. The guru looks at the man and he says, I'll give you the number one secret right now that'll help you the most. The next time you come visit me, take the tram on the backside of the mountain. It takes 10 minutes. You see, the fundamentals, when you practice the fundamentals, it's the tram. When you don't, it's climbing the mountain. It's harsh. Now, in my life, I thought about the first lie I ever told. I searched my memory to come up with the first lie I could ever remember telling in my life. And here's what I came up with. I was in the second grade, 6 or 7 years old, I think. The school that I was in, every year they have this drive to raise money for the school, and they give all the children these catalogs to take home to their parents to buy things out of the catalog, and the amount of things you sell out of the catalog gives you an amount of points for another catalog, and you get to pick out toys from this catalog. Well, I had the bright idea that I would come back to the school and tell all my schoolmates that I had sold so much stuff that my father wouldn't trust me to take all that money to the school. So he had the money, and he was going to take it directly to the company. Now, I cooked that up in second grade. That's the first lie I can remember ever telling. That lie right there caused me to have a horrible divorce that almost led to me taking my own life. Think about that. That lie that I told in second grade caused that to happen. There's no such thing as an inconsequential lie. And the number one reason there's no such thing as an inconsequential lie is because one lie will lead you to tell another one. And another one and another one. In the Quran, it's written, it takes 14 lies to cover up one. So you see, in my lifetime, I led what I considered to be a basically honest life. I was a basically honest person. What's that mean? That means that I didn't go out of my way to deceive people or hurt people. I was basically honest. I was married for 7 years. I had two affairs, because basically honest people, that fits into being basically honest, doesn't it? See, basically honest people are just trying to be happy. I was just trying to be happy. I was unhappy in my marriage, so I decided to have a couple of affairs. I was basically honest. Well, then I had a really interesting thing happen to me. And I don't recommend this. Don't do this. Don't try this at home. I had a near-death experience back in the mid-80s. I found myself, after a year of clinical depression, I found myself laying in bed at home. And I was dying, and I knew I was dying. And there's no mistaking that. When you're close to that point, there's no mistaking it. If you've ever been around anybody who's crossed over, there's a thing called the death rattle, where your body starts to come loose, and you actually rattle. Well, that's what happened to me. Then I came out of my body, and I hovered at the ceiling looking down at myself. It was pretty scary. When I didn't cross over, a very interesting thing happened to me. I had an experience like the movie Liar Liar. When I stepped back into my life space, I couldn't lie about anything for any reason. And I thought this was the oddest thing ever. I asked people about it. Have you ever heard of anybody having an experience like this? Never. So, see, I didn't choose this. It chose me. I didn't choose the subject. The subject chose me. And so from that experience, I learned a lot. The first thing I learned is why I had to climb the mountain. What caused me to spend half my lifetime climbing the mountain? I learned all about that. From that, I read 1,500 books from that experience because I wanted to unravel what happened to me because I didn't understand it. I asked people, you ever hear of anybody having a near-death experience and then not being able to lie? So I read all these books. From the books, I created a couple of metaphors. One of them I call the purification of water. So in the purification of water process, it doesn't matter how many pure elements you add to the water will never truly be pure until you remove its impurities. Second one, I call the closet metaphor. Everybody's got a closet, a drawer, somewhere where they put stuff they don't want to deal with. The clothes they're going to wear 5 years from now, the gifts they got that they're embarrassed if they gave them away or sold them, and they pack it all in this closet. Well, one day you're packing stuff in the closet and the door won't stay closed anymore. And the door flies open. And you're buried in all this stuff. Spiritual law says you can't put anything back in the closet, nothing. You have to make a decision. You look at every item and you decide, am I discarding it, burning it, throwing away, selling it, because it doesn't go back in the closet. Those were my two metaphors, because I looked at my life from start to where I was. I told one lie, it led me to another one. It led me to another one. It led me to another one. And where it led me was to be unhappy. And where it led me was to be inauthentic. There's an interesting word, authentic. There's a very interesting movie called The Mirror Has Two Faces. It didn't get a lot of great reviews. It's about 12 years old, I believe. Barbara Streisand was the producer, and she starred in it. The Mirror Has Two Faces. I highly recommend it. It works like this. There's two mirrors in your life. There's the glass one that you look in, and there's life. Now, two questions. I'm going to ask you two questions. Please respond immediately to the question. Immediately. Don't rationalize it. Don't think about the right answer. Don't think about the acceptable answer. Just answer it immediately. Raise your hand quickly if you love what you see when you look in the mirror. Second question. Raise your hand quickly if you unconditionally love yourself. Okay. Typically, the response in a room is about 5%. It was a little higher here. I'm not sure how much of it was authentic, because people tend to respond a certain way as a conditioned response. The mirror has two faces. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Because the mirror will dictate your life. It'll dictate who you are if you allow that to happen. The second mirror is life. You will become the reflection of what's around you. Now, let me give you an explanation of that. I've studied brainwashing in the military and otherwise. Once upon a time, you were very small, and you were surrounded by giants. And these giants, not because they wanted your life to be harsh or unhappy, not because they had an agenda. These giants would communicate with you when you were very small. 10% of the time, they would validate you, and 90% of the time, they would invalidate you. Now, what's that mean? Don't touch that. Don't do that. Don't think that way. That dream you had, that's stupid. Those things you see, that's dumb. They don't exist. 90% of the time, you were invalidated. So who have you become now? Who are you? Ask yourself the question, who are you? Are you the reflection? Or are you the beautiful soul you were intended to be, but you missed it? You missed it. You look in the mirror, you see something totally different. 5% in a room with people in it love what they see when they look in the mirror. 5% unconditionally love themselves. 10% maybe. It's easy to become the reflection. It only takes a couple of days. When you're a little person, it only takes a couple of days, maybe a week. If you're invalidated on a regular basis, you will become the invalidation. And you'll live it for the rest of your life, and in a lot of cases, you won't even notice it. You will never notice it. Lies. There's lies in the external world. There's lies that you tell yourself. And then there's withholds, the infamous withhold. So there's a story about Brian and Stephanie I like to tell. Yeah. Brian and Stephanie are roommates. And for the first time ever, Brian has invited his mother over for dinner. And there's some tension going on. She gets there, they get into the dinner. And he sees she's very uncomfortable. She's squirming around in her seat, and she's just uncomfortable. He said, Mom, look, I know why you're uncomfortable. I just want to tell you, Stephanie and I are just roommates. That's all. We are not in a relationship. We are just roommates. Please relax. The dinner goes on. Toward the end of the dinner, his mom is squirming again. He reiterates, Mom, please. I'm telling you, we are not in a relationship. We are just roommates. The night ends. Mom leaves. The next morning, Stephanie's cleaning up. She's very uncomfortable. She goes to Brian and says, Brian, I don't even know how to tell you this. This is so uncomfortable. I had a very expensive silver soup ladle last night at dinner. And this morning when I was cleaning up, I can't find it. Now, I don't want to accuse your mother of taking this soup ladle, but I'm confused. It's missing. No problem, he said. I'll email her. So he sends her an email. Mom, I'm not saying that you took the silver soup ladle that's missing from dinner last night, and I'm not saying you didn't take the silver soup ladle that's missing from dinner last night, but the facts are you left and the soup ladle's missing. He gets an email back. Brian, I'm not saying that you're sleeping with Stephanie, and I'm not saying that you're not sleeping with Stephanie, but the facts are, if Stephanie had slept in her own bed, she would have found the silver soup ladle. So you see, there's no such thing as an inconsequential lie, and the moral to that story is, don't ever lie to your mother, ever. You see, imagine this. You have a flat tire, and it's very inconvenient. Is it a consequence? Your purse is stolen. You lose your credit cards. Is it a consequence of a lie? You see, all life is connected. Everybody's connected to everybody else. Life is a tapestry. You look at one side, it's got this beautiful embroidered scene on it. You turn it around to the other side, and it's got threads going every which way that don't mean a thing. You see, everything is connected. Those things that happen to you that are very inconvenient, I suggest to you, could be the consequences, because everything is connected. I had an interesting thing happen to me a couple of years ago. I have an office in Florida, and it's on a pretty busy highway where I live. And I've been in that location for about 30 years. And on a regular basis, I pass by a church. It's maybe a mile from my office. And I'll go by this church, and I look over at it always. It has a big set of iron gates in front of it that open into a courtyard that accesses the church and the Sunday school rooms and the offices and so forth. So all these years I go by, I'm looking over to see if the gates are open. One day, I drove by the church, and for the first time I ever noticed the gates were open. And I went, that's amazing. If they're open when I come back from this trip, I'm going to stop. So I went and did some business, came back by, the gates were open. I pulled into the parking lot, I went around, went into the courtyard, and I looked around for a human. I saw a woman typing on a computer in what appeared to be the church office. I went over, opened the door, and walked in. She looked at me and she said, can I help you? And I said, well, not actually. I said, I'm here because I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to give you $100. She went, what? And I said, I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to give you $100. Okay. I said, 42 or 43 years ago, I was a Boy Scout. And I met in this church on Tuesday nights. The Boy Scout meetings were in this church 42 or 43 years ago. I said, 42 or 43 years ago, I took $12 from this church that did not belong to me. It belonged to the church. And I handed her the $100. She said, oh my God. She said, 42 years and you're making restitution for that? And I said, absolutely. And she said, why don't you come to church this Sunday? And I said, well, I'm going to be out of the country, but thank you for inviting me. So I turned around to leave. I grabbed the door to leave, and I turned back around and I went, oh, by the way, my name is Gary King, because I needed to own it 100%. Because in that 42-year period of time, I thought of all these creative ways to deal with that, like send a money order, go by the church and put the money in a plate, do something. But I had to own it 100%. Now, here's the really interesting part of this story. I never said a word to the woman in the office about the gates. I never said one word. I still go by that church all the time. And for the strangest reason, The gates, almost every single time I pass by there, are open. And for 30 years, they were closed. And I never mentioned this to the woman. So you see, everything you do has a consequence. There's no inconsequential lies. There's no inconsequential withholds. There's no such thing as white lies and black lies and green ones and yellow ones. You see, there's only lies and truth, and that's all there is. There's no variations. And when you think somehow you can gain advantage by being dishonest, what you gain is consequences. And they show up in the strangest ways. They show up in the oddest sets of circumstances. We live in a time where it is a bad thing in this country to display the Ten Commandments in a public building. It is a bad thing. To me, the Ten Commandments is not a religious anything. Those are fundamentals to live by. It's not a religious concept. It is a human concept of having a successful, happy, fulfilling life. But they're not allowed to be displayed. What's wrong with this picture? Teaching alternative ethics in college. What's wrong with this picture? Martha Stewart, Enron, the runaway bride. What is going on? In Florida, where I live, here's the newest spin on being dishonest. Middle school kids and high school kids now are faking abductions so that they can get out of school. They skip school, they go home, they tell their parents they were abducted. They describe a car and a person that grabbed them and threw them in the car. The police in Florida now are fed up because they're taking all the resources. What's the problem here? Who's teaching ethics? Whose responsibility is it? Where is it happening? There's no such thing as an inconsequential lie. All those kids that are doing that, the punishment is horrific for that. And it's not because someone will punish them. It's because they will punish themselves. Because that's how the system works. You know, in this country right now in business, here's how it works. Lying is acceptable behavior. It's acceptable. Anybody relate to this where they work or have worked? Lying is acceptable behavior. You know what's worse? Lying is expected behavior. It's expected. People ask me questions all the time. I don't know what to do. I work at this company. I love what I do, but my boss wants me to lie all the time. What would you do? Well, you see, it works like this. You either influence the people around you or they influence you. There's an exercise they do, a corporate training exercise, where they'll take a person and they walk them down a sidewalk. And alongside the sidewalk, there's a hedge, and you can't see through it. So you're walking down the sidewalk, you get to a point, and behind the hedge comes the sounds of a woman struggling, like she's being attacked. 85% of the time, the person will act on that. They'll either call 911, they'll go through the hedge to try and help the person. Here's the second part of the exercise. They take another person, they walk them down the sidewalk, only this time there's a person on their right and a person on their left. When they get to the point on the sidewalk where the sounds come from behind the hedge, if the person on the right doesn't do anything and the person on the left doesn't do anything, neither will the person in the middle. This study came from something that happened in New York City many years ago, where I believe it was like a 37-year-old woman was attacked and brutally beaten and killed while 44 or 45 people were present, and no one did anything. And no one could figure this out. Why would no one help this woman? So they studied it. And now they actually do it as an exercise. So I suggest to you that in your life, there is a person on your left and a person on your right. These people very well are directing your life for you. Because the person on your left and the person on your right is going to influence a lot of what you do, in some cases, all of what you do. Now think about that incident with a person in the middle and those sounds coming from behind the hedge. If the person on the right doesn't do anything and the person on the left doesn't do anything, why is the person in the middle not doing anything when they know the right thing is to do something? Why are they not doing it? They're afraid of being judged. They're afraid of being rejected. They're afraid of being ridiculed. The same reason that people aren't honest. They're afraid of hurting someone's feelings. Okay, here we go. I do not believe it is your role on this planet to protect other people's feelings. I believe your role is to grow yourself and help the people on your right and the people on your left to grow. That is why I believe you're here. It's a simple concept. Hurt somebody's feelings? What is it you're really in fear of? Rejection? Being rejected? What's the real fear? What's the truth about that? People come to me all the time because I'm have the identity of being honest all the time. So they come to me. I'm like Mikey in the television commercial, the cereal commercial. Give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything. People come to me and they go, will you tell so-and-so something? I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, of course I'll tell them. And yes, I tell people things and they get their feelings hurt and they start to cry. But guess what? Anybody I've ever told the truth to, there is no one who has disconnected or disassociated from me for doing that. What really happened was they respected me for doing that. Even if they didn't want to hear it, and it was painful and it was awful, they respected me after the fact. And I respect myself for doing that. I've withheld in my lifetime plenty. It's what caused me to go through so much time and waste so much time in my life. I didn't have the courage to take my own life. That's why it didn't happen, because I didn't have the courage to do it. And then, after I didn't, I had to find the courage to live it. It's a whole different concept. Finding the courage to live it. And the courage to live it is the courage to be authentic. If you don't love yourself and you don't respect yourself, you are going to have one tough time finding a mate. Who in here right now is searching for their soulmate? Who's searching for their soulmate? When you leave this room today, the first time you can find a mirror, you look in it, and you will have found that person. Because if you're not connected to you, and you don't respect you, and you're not associated to you, and you don't unconditionally love you, and you're searching for somebody to do that for you, well, I have a newsflash for you. Whatever you're searching for, you have to be that first. If you're searching for somebody that's honest, you have to be that person. If you're searching for somebody to have a really amazing, emotionally intimate relationship with, and you're not honest, you're climbing that mountain. And it could be a lifetime of climbing. There's no substitute for authenticity. You can't substitute anything else. You can't substitute plastic surgery. It's not going to work. I don't care how many Rolexes you wear, it won't substitute. I don't care what car you drive, it will not substitute for those things. It won't. And I'm sure everybody in here has had some sort of experience that's directly connected to that. I recently spoke to the Discovery Camp kids in London. That's the first time I've had an opportunity to speak directly to a young audience. And I told them a story which I typically don't tell in the adult audiences, but I'm going to tell it today. When I was born with a birthmark on my face. It was the size of a penny and the color of a penny, and it was on my left cheek right there, right below my eye. When I was in grammar school, kids called me Mole. My best friends called me Mole. My best friend called me Mole. Not very endearing. So what do you think I saw when I look in the mirror? Every time I looked in the mirror, what did I see? The Mole. I never even saw who I was. When I was 37 years old, a friend of mine took a photo of me. And in the photo, I could see that the bottom of the mole was discolored. Well, through my whole lifetime, every time I ever saw a doctor, they would say, if you ever see that thing discolored, get it checked right away. So I went and got it checked. The doctor said, look, there's no reason to have the mole on your face. I got to do a biopsy anyway. Let's just remove it. Remove it? I was in shock. I had to think about it for 2 weeks. Here's something that caused me a lifetime's worth of pain. And I had to think about it for 2 weeks. So I went back and I said, okay, take it off. At that time in my life, I sponsored a women's softball team, a city league. And the game was the night I had it removed. I had a big patch over my face, covering my eye and the left side of my face. I went down to the field. I went into the dugout. The managers and the girls were all there. They all came running over, freaking out, going, what'd you do, get in a car accident? And they went, no, I had my birthmark removed. Birthmark? What birthmark? No. This is not, don't play games with me about this. This has been a serious issue my whole life. We don't know what you're talking about. There was one girl that didn't come in. She was out on the field. So I went out to say hello. She looked at me and she went, oh my God, tell me you did not have your birthmark removed. I would have paid to have that on my face. You see, 37 years of my life, I became the reflection. I was the reflection in the mirror. I was not me. I grew up ugly. I was ugly for 37 years of my life. Do not become the reflection in the mirror unless the reflection is that of beauty. It's your choice. It's your right. It is your right. Your Creator did not create any junk stuff. Okay? Your Creator didn't do that. Your Creator didn't put you here to punish you. You learned how to do that on your own. Because you see, there's no such thing as an inconsequential lie. Plastic surgery in this country, it's out of control. It's like going to a 7-Eleven. Why? I have friends who have had extensive plastic surgery done. I don't know any of them that it's changed their self-esteem. It's changed their clothes size, but it hasn't changed their self-esteem. The only thing that's going to change your self-esteem is becoming emotionally aligned. That will change your self-esteem. And that's when you decide that it's a gift and an honor and a pleasure to be honest. I love being honest. It's a pleasure. Most of my life, I linked pain to it. For some reason, I had an experience that sent me in this direction. parents raise their hand and ask me all the time, how do I get my kids to stop lying? There is two simple answers to that question. Stop lying is the first one. Stop lying. You remember when you were a kid? You remember how perceptive you were? You remember how you noticed stuff that your parents didn't notice? Remember going, why are my parents doing that? That's dumb. They're going to get in trouble. The second part of the equation is don't ever punish your children for being honest. Because guess what parents do? They want the child to be honest, the child is honest, and then the parent punishes them. Behavior reinforcement. Don't ever, you have to think about it, don't ever punish your children for being honest. You have to make a distinction. Punish them for the deed and reward them for being honest and make it very clear to them that it's a reward for being honest and a punishment for the deed. Because if you don't do that, you're going to reinforce that lying is appropriate behavior. Then your son or daughter is going to grow up and chances are have an unfulfilling marriage and not know exactly why, possibly. There's no such thing as an inconsequential lie. There never was, there never will be. It was interesting, I watched an interview with Martha Stewart. And this was an interview from about 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. I don't recall if it was on 60 Minutes or 2020, but they were interviewing her. And when they got to the end of the interview, they segued to a commercial and back, and the interviewer had one final question. And the final question was, Martha, what would you consider to be your number one value in life? And she was quick to answer, very quick. Oh, honesty and integrity. What happened? What happened to her? My thought is that she lives in a world, the corporate world, where if somebody asked her the question, why did you insider trade? The answer might have been something like, come on, everybody does that. And everybody lies to cover it up. There was a little article in the newspaper where I live, they interviewed an attorney in California about the Martha Stewart case and the attorney that defended her. And this attorney wrote, well, my recommendation is that her attorney should refund all the money that he charged to defend her, because what he should have told her from the get-go was just tell the truth. What happened to Martha Stewart? Leverage. What happened to Martha Stewart? I suspect she wanted to avoid pain. She had an image. She created an image. If you know anything about her, she is far from that image, according to a lot of publications that are out there. She's far from the image she's created for herself. If you want to read a really interesting book, it's very new. I think it's a year old or less. It's called The Post-Truth Era by Ralph Keyes. The Post-Truth Era. Ralph Keyes has done research and he has a lot of statistics in there and a lot of experiments that have been done. And the stats from those experiments go something like this. The average person lies 3 times per hour. They interviewed college students and they videoed them. And the criteria for the interview was, please be completely honest on this interview. So they interviewed them, they videoed it. They called in each one individually, they played the video back. And the one incident I remember, one interview, a guy was asked what he did, and he said he was the lead guitar player in a rock band. When they played the video back, the guy saw that and went, I don't even remember saying that. Lying is a pathology. It becomes part of life. People do it and they don't even understand or are conscious of them doing it themselves. It's so conditioned in as an immediate response. People say to me, there is no way, no way you can live your life and be authentically honest. There's no way. I mean, I don't know. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my lifetime. So if there's no way to do it, and I interact with a lot of people. I mean, I travel worldwide 6 months out of the year. I own two businesses in Florida. I interact with lots of people. And I don't feel the need to lie about anything to anyone for any reason. Hurting people's feelings? It's not your job to protect their feelings. It's your job to help them grow. To help them grow. To help them be authentic. There's no such thing as an inconsequential lie. There never was. It's amazing. The kids who were in the talk I gave in London a couple of weeks ago, a lot of them are emailing me. And I've had several different 14-year-old girls email me and tell me stories that have happened in their lives as a result of telling lies and an exercise I do at the end of this talk. And the most recent one came back and this girl said, you know, I never realized that the white lies affected my life the way that they affect it. She said, I now know that I'll never be happy until I stop doing that. This is a 14-year-old girl. The fundamentals of life, being honest, being authentic, forgiveness. Now there's an interesting one, forgiveness. Now I know there's no one in here who currently has this issue, but I want to share a blessing with you that happened to me in the mid-80s. I just love kids. I love kids. For many years, I put on roller skates on Christmas Eve afternoon, and I got 24 of my friends, and we dressed them up as elves and had their faces painted. I put on a Santa Claus suit and roller skates and roller skated around the downtown city where I live, giving out carnations to all the ladies in the downtown area and candy canes to all the kids. I just love kids. Well, in the mid-80s, a friend of mine called me up, and he said, will you do me a favor? Are you going downtown today? And I went, yeah, I am. Will you pick me up a starter for my car? And I went, sure. So I headed off downtown. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon, 5-lane highway, one way into the city. And I didn't notice in my peripheral vision, there was a woman on the curb with 3 little kids. She had them all in tow. I didn't see her. She headed off into the traffic. There was no intersection, no crosswalk, no traffic light, and she headed off into the traffic with these little kids in tow. She got out in the middle of the road and she panicked because the traffic was really crazy. And she let them go and told them to run. And I ran over a 5-year-old boy and he died in the street. And that day was a blessing. Problem was, it was horrific. It was horrific. I couldn't conceive of that. That was something that happened on the 6 o'clock news. That was not something that happened to me, could ever happen to me. Never. Never. And I got to learn the truth about forgiveness. I got to learn all about it. I got to learn how to forgive myself and get on with my life. Because it was inconceivable for that to happen. There was nothing that I could think of doing in my life that would have been more horrific than that. And so I learned about The truth about forgiveness. About 18 months ago, I was telling this story, and somebody raised their hand in the room, and they went, I don't understand how you could possibly tell that story and not get emotional. He was kind of appalled. And I said, well, have you ever had a bruise or a cut or something, and if you touched it or bumped it, it really hurt? And then one day, you could touch it or bump it, and it didn't hurt at all? That's because it was healed? I had a man come up to me in Singapore. I had given the talk. He said, will you please talk to me outside of the room? I had the same experience happen to me years ago, and I've never been able to get over it. I said, sure. He said, please. I went out and talked to him. He said, please share something with me that can help me get past this. And I said, well, you know, the incident that happened to me, I said, I believe that incident was a blessing. And he said, how so? And I said, well, I believe that there's a course of things that happens because all things are connected. I believe that there's a possibility that that little boy, at some level, had decided to facilitate something very big. That he had an opportunity, he had a choice. He had a choice to stay or go. And if he decided to go, he would facilitate something very large. He could possibly facilitate something so large, it could change a state or a country or a culture. He decided that he had the opportunity to facilitate something like that. And see, because he made that decision, I get to talk to you today. And I got to talk to that man about what happened to him. And you see, sometimes there's a 5-year-old boy, and he's on my left sometimes. And he helps me on this journey because he knows this journey is a critical journey. He knows that without practicing the fundamentals, happiness isn't going to happen. And he wants people to be happy. Why? Because that 5-year-old boy was about to get taken away from his parents because they were abusing him. And he wants everyone to be happy. So he facilitated a journey. He's allowed me to speak to now thousands of people about being authentic. Because it's the pathway to freedom. The truth will set you free. In Australia a couple of years ago when I spoke, a couple of leadership people came and got me because they had a gentleman who had been married for 19 years. And 18 years ago, he had had an affair. And the guilt had grown and grown and grown after that 18-year period. And it grew so deep that he was miserable, he was depressed, he couldn't work. He had several children, he loved his kids, he loved his wife. He perceived that his wife was either having an affair or she was about to have an affair. So they came out and asked me if there was any information I could share with them that would help them facilitate a healing with this man. And I said, sure. Go back and tell him to go home and tell his wife that he had an affair 18 years ago. They came back to me the next day and said, oh my God, he freaked out. He said, I'm not going to do that. I will never do that. So I said, would you like me to speak to him? They went, sure, will you? And I went, absolutely. So they went and got him, and I spent a couple hours with him. And I said, so just go tell her, because she knows. He said, she doesn't know. I said, she knows. Trust me, she knows. She knows. He said, no, I guarantee you she does not know. Ladies, did she know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she knew. So I said, here's what. If you tell her, I asked him, what's your fear? She'll leave me. I said, she's not going to leave you. But I said, if you tell her and she leaves you, the result is going to be the same because you've been living in prison for 18 years. So the result's the same. If you want out of prison, you must tell her. But I said, I will bet you that what she's going to think is, oh my God, finally, this man that I love so much, finally, he is starting to grow. Finally, he's starting to get in touch with himself. So I talked to him for a very long time about that. Turns out he went home. I gave him my email address. He went home. And he told her. And she knew. And he said, I want to introduce you to her the next time you come to Australia. Great. I was in Australia like 6 months later, and he did, in fact, introduce me to her, and they have an amazing relationship now. Because, you see, there's consequences to being honest as well. You see, there's great consequences to being honest as well. So I want to tell you about something I have in the trademark office right now. And it came out of a conversation I had with a dear friend of mine 4 years ago who came to me and said, my business is a mess. I don't know how to straighten it out. And he started telling me about some of these scenarios. So I said, look, let me give you a suggestion. I was thinking about a way to help this man. So let me give you a suggestion. Go back and start being completely honest with your customers. It'll change your whole business. He said, if I do that, I'll lose all my customers. There's a clue. There is a clue. And then I said, email me and tell me what happened. So 10 days later, I get an email from him. He said, the most amazing thing happened. This one individual that I lie to all the time, he's my best customer. I told him the truth about something that I would never be honest about. This man looked at me and said, oh my God, thank you for being honest with me about that. I'd like to do more business with you. So, from that conversation, I developed what I call the 24-hour truth challenge. The struggle is already starting in the room. And this is how it works. Look at your watch. It is now 1:30. So, starting now on your watch is the 24-hour truth challenge. So for 24 hours, I challenge you to be authentic to everyone about everything. That includes to yourself. That means being honest with yourself. Stop being in denial. Stop BSing yourself. Be honest with yourself. Stop with the withholds, because in a lot of cases, they're worse than the outright lie. Here's what you're going to notice. If 1 hour into this challenge, you're really struggling, I will offer to you that you're living a lie, and you probably have for a very long time. The other thing you'll notice is, as soon as you've been honest in a scenario where you typically wouldn't be, you'll start to feel a feeling right here in your solar plexus. And that feeling is the feeling of the alignment starting to happen. The emotional alignment starting to happen. It's the life force, and it's starting to grow. Your spirit and your soul and your being is starting to align. Your metabolism will change. You'll have a distinct difference in the way you carry yourself. If you do this long enough, it will take over your body. Because you see, when you're emotionally aligned, your immune system works very different than it does when you're emotionally misaligned. Your constitution is very different when you're emotionally aligned. When you're congruent, your body acts congruent. Your physical being is congruent. There's a tremendous difference in the amount of internal courage, strength, and power. If you do it long enough, what you're going to start to notice is you affect the outside world, and it's going to be really odd at first. Like all of a sudden the church gates are open. You affect the outside world. You'll affect the people around you because there's a person on your right and a person on your left. You will affect them. You'll affect the business where you work, whether you own it or you work for somebody else. Would you rather do business with somebody who's authentically honest or somebody who is out of integrity? It's a simple question with a simple answer. Would you rather be healthy? Or would you rather run the risks? Because when you're incongruent, your immune system works differently than when you're congruent. So I challenge you to the 24-hour truth challenge. I've gotten emails from all over the world. People email me back. By the way, there's some business cards in front of a computer on the back table back there with my website and email address on it. I have a website that is just a web page and with an enter key. It's just for the purpose of capturing a database because within a very short period of time, I'm about to launch several websites with just an immense amount of information how to support this process within yourself and support it in kids, in schools. I'm working on a program right now to introduce into the school system. I've tested this in the school system. I had a teacher friend of mine, Drew Fuller, test this in Long Island, New York, in a high school with high school students. They embraced it. I had no clue what would happen. They embraced the 24-hour truth challenge. They did it. They were excited. They told their friends, and it's changed their lives. Because once you do this, you cannot go backwards from this point. You can't turn back. Because you see, what's happened in this room right now is there's been a shift in consciousness. When you leave this room, looking back will be difficult. I've got 6 more hours of material that I will hopefully share with you at some other time. It's been an honor and a pleasure to deliver this message to you. My 5-year-old friend, it's been an honor for him as well. Make your life honest. Live with honesty and authenticity. It's the pathway to happiness and freedom and wealth and success. And it's contagious. Honesty and integrity is contagious. Pass it on. Thank you ever so much. Thank you.